Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
Today's saint is a Franciscan. She was born in 1585 in central Italy, not far from Rome, in a city called Viterbo. She died in 1640. At a young age, she became a Franciscan. She joined a community that followed the rule of the Third Order. And there, instead of pursuing holiness, instead of pursuing perfection, instead of pursuing penance and mortification, which was what the community was all about, she rather lived a very relaxed, a very lax life. She came from a noble family and made leverage on that to basically live the life of a rich person in this community of poor nuns. She always made sure she had dainty foods and fine clothing and nice furnishings in her cell. She lived such a life of hypocrisy until one day she got very sick, and so sick that it was actually feared that she might die. So a priest was summoned to give her the sacraments, and this priest, coming into her cell and noticing how far she was from what she had promised one thing to our Lord, the rule of the Third Order of St. Francis, poverty, penance, mortification, and all of that. And yet she was living diametrically opposed to that, in luxury and in comfort. The priest, noticing that, shocked, admonished her and said, "Sister Hyacinth, you have promised to God a certain way of life and you are not observing it." He reproached her, and Sister Hyacinth, struck by grace, realized this priest is right. I better change my life, and I better observe what I promised to God. That was the moment that really marked her conversion, even within the convent, the moment of her conversion. She gave away her fine clothing. She stopped smuggling dainty foods into the convent. She gave away her furnishings, finally began to live the life that she should have, and practiced heroic virtue of mortification, penance, prayer, etc., all of the above. She became the saint that she was called to be. Died in 1640. She was canonized in 1807. That's her life in quick summary. For us, the takeaway, well, what is it that really occasioned her conversion? It was fraternal correction. So, two dimensions of fraternal correction. One, well, imagine if that priest didn't have the courage to give Sister Hyacinth the correction that she needed. She would have probably persevered in her hypocritical way of life and never become a saint. Who knows, she might have even lost her soul. I mean, she was living in a situation of pretty big compromise with the poverty that she had promised. She was violating a vow that she had made to God. So imagine if he didn't have that courage to correct her. Well, both she and he might have lost their souls, not only, again, gone to purgatory, but maybe even worse, because, again, the situation there was pretty serious. Her inobservance was pretty grave. So that's one thing, the necessity of sometimes in life giving fraternal correction out of love to our friends and relatives. But I'd like to focus actually on the second dimension, receiving that correction. Sister Hyacinth, when she heard that reproach, she could have said, "I'm a noble, I'm gonna call my dad and punish you. I've been living like this for years, you don't know what you're talking about, get out of my room." She could have just made a scene and not accepted that correction. That's what we frequently do when people point out our faults. She could have said, "Well, you're not living poverty either, whatever." But instead, in humility, she accepted it and said, "You are right, Father. What you see is correct. I am not living what I promised to God. I'm going to take this opportunity to change my life. Thank you for pointing this out to me. This is what I needed to get on the right path." She accepted fraternal correction. So this is what I'd like to focus on, the necessity of accepting fraternal correction, because in life, we're going to frequently be judged by people. And when people judge us, they frequently see some truth about us that, yeah, does need correcting. People see our faults, see our defects. Maybe they're not saints, but nevertheless, they can and do see our faults. And them pointing them out to us can be for us an opportunity to start working on them. In order to do that, we need three things. We need a supernatural vision, we need humility, and we need gratitude. Supernatural vision in the sense that, okay, even if an obnoxious person is the instrument of God's mercy, that moment when somebody's judging you, condemning you, correcting you, might just be an opportunity that God is giving you. God might just be at work in this situation, when somebody's pointing out your fault to you, even if it's done in a very unpleasant way, even if it's done without charity, that might just be God at work, allowing you to, maybe in an unpleasant and painful way, see your own fault. Realize your own fault. Realize how many problems it's causing in life. So that supernatural vision, God might be using that situation. Second, a humility. Okay, because despite all the many faults that the person who's judging you has, well, there might be truth to what he is saying about you. Yeah, might really be whatever you're being judged for. I might really be gluttonous or argumentative or selfish, or there's truth to what this person is saying. And last, gratitude. Well, now I'm thankful that I see something about myself that maybe I didn't see before, or didn't realize was such a big problem before. Gratitude, even if it comes from a person who's not delivering it in the nicest way. Thank you, though, for showing this to me. Supernatural vision, humility, and gratitude. Saint Cyril, one of the fathers of the church, says that reproofs like that are an opportunity for a humble person to improve, whereas they are unbearable for the proud person. A humble person will accept correction. A proud person will fight back and say, well, you can't say that to me. Who are you? I've got reason to be the way I am. Look at yourself, right? It'll be immediately an opportunity to sin back. Whereas a humble person will say, okay, there's truth to what you're saying. My turn might come one day. I might have to correct you sometime in the future. Now is not that moment. Now it's my turn to receive. I might have to give correction, but now is not that moment. Now is the time to receive. If we have, again, those three, if we pray for those three things, the supernatural vision, the humility, and the gratitude, well then, every time somebody, again, I just keep using that term because we don't like it, every time we feel like somebody's judging us and condemning us, that can be an opportunity for us to grow. Again, there's going to be plenty of opportunities when we can correct somebody else. But when you are being corrected, that's not that time. That's the time to receive, like St. Hyacinth did, and that led to her conversion and to the beginning of her ascent to holiness. Can be an opportunity for us as well, if only we wish it, if only we pray for that supernatural vision, that humility, and that gratitude to accept these corrections. Praised be Jesus and Mary. Amen. Amen.